All right, guys, pictures up.
Pictures up.
Pictures up.
Let's roll sound.
Rolling.
Rolling.
Sound speeds.
Camera speeds. Two. Awesome. Take two. Mark.
Set up.
And
action.
Welcome to the Penn Cinema Podcast, your behind-the-curtain connection for movie news and reviews. Now, here are your hosts, Penn Ketchum and David Moulton.
Welcome to the show. I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
What's up?
How you doing?
Good. How you doing? You know, I wish people knew the awkward tension from when we say hello to setting up, but we're just biting our tongue to not talk about anything.
This show would be awful if we, like, talked to each other for 15 minutes before the show started.
I know. We'd be like, oh, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. Thank goodness we have restraint.
Thank God. Yes. Nothing, if not a vision of discipline. Me and David.
Hey, look, I've something burning on my mind since last week.
Hit me.
Did you see Saho?
No.
My man.
Dude, if I could begin to describe to you how busy I am this month.
I know.
This whole month.
I bet.
It's insane.
I bet.
I got the normal work, which isn't that big of a deal,
right.
But it is, I do have responsibilities. And then on top of that, general manager in Ephrata is out of town for a month.
Mm.
So I'm covering a lot of shifts over there.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote a new book.
Ain't that big deal?
Big deal.
Big deal.
Really big deal. Picked up a publisher. That comes out on September 19th. So
oh,
I've had
word.
All these like interviews and work to do to get ready
oh,
for
word.
That release. Plus, I'm speaking at an event, which is a really big deal. September 19th. Tickets are $25.
Oh, my gosh. Where's this at?
This is at the Highland Presbyterian Church
mm-hmm.
to benefit the Parish Resource Center.
Okay.
So if you get a ticket, you get a copy of the book, and all the proceeds go to the Parish Resource Center. But my problem is, like, I do public speaking all the time. It's no big deal. But if people are going to pay...
It's got to be good.
I got to think of something to say.
It can't just be a clip show of your best speeches.
I'm just going to run the podcast. That would be great.
Here you go.
Get a cardboard cutout of both of us, put it up front, click play.
Just walk out.
Be out back watching trailers.
I'd pay $25 for that.
There you go. So, yeah, I regret. I have to say, I do. I regret. I regret that I did not get in to see Saho.
That's okay. I understand.
As much as you loved it. I mean,
I understand.
Your enthusiasm for this film was passionate.
There have been, like, groups of people who are like, I wanted to see it after I heard your thing, but I didn't listen to the show till Wednesday. And
right.
It was gone, you know?
Yeah, unfortunately, I have to say, there was a lot of... I feel like IMAX went a little bit out on a limb with this.
Yeah.
And I don't think... they got the results that you would want if you're a supporter. Like, if you want to see more Bollywood in IMAX, I don't think this film helped your wishes.
Right. It's too bad. I mean, lightning in a bottle, that's what I'm calling
it. That's it. That's it.
All right. I see some top-notch news here to start off.
Top tier.
This is big.
Big.
I mean, blow the lid off. Huge. Give it to me straight, man.
All right. Well, here's the deal. After weeks...
Whoa.
Of intense negotiations.
One contract tied up into another
lawyers
contract.
Lawyers and briefcases.
So many briefcases.
So many briefcases.
So many.
Not one or two. I'm talking about a whole room full of briefcases.
It is insane.
Yes. There were memos. Yeah, they were reviewed, spell checked.
I can't think of the word. Where they changed the memos.
Right, edited.
Edited. Yeah, I was thinking reprimandation. Nah, whatever. It doesn't
redaction.
Matter. Redaction. Yeah.
The memos were redacted.
Yeah, lots of blackouts.
There were some backroom dealings, some back channel discussions.
Ugh.
So anyway, after weeks of intense negotiations.
A trip to Singapore.
A couple trips to Singapore. the Penn Cinema Podcast.
What?
Our team of lawyers. Was able to come to an agreement with the Red Rose Film Festival's team.
Oh, my gosh.
And we have agreed to do a live, I don't know what you call it, show.
Live show.
A live show during the Red Rose Film Festival. We will be recording in the Filmmakers Lounge.
Oh.
Where we will be not only doing our thing, but then also be have the opportunity to interview some filmmakers.
Yeah.
I'm hoping we'll be able to interview a couple fans.
Okay.
Certainly, we're going to want to interview Ryan, the executive director.
Oh, absolutely.
He's a hoot. So, yeah, so I'm really excited about that. So the Penn Cinema Podcast, our first, you know, gig.
Yeah. This is big news.
So many briefcases.
So many briefcases. Wow. Do we have a, do we know a day or?
We don't have a specific date, but the film festival is November 1st, 2nd, and 3rd.
Okay.
So I assume it's probably going to be like on that Saturday periodically, Saturday, okay. November 2nd. And yeah, so we're, our team is still negotiating the schedule specifics.
Yeah. You know? another briefcase in there.
So many briefcases. Yeah.
That is hugeness.
I'm really excited about that. And then a much smaller piece of news.
Uh-huh.
Our friend Shayla, that is one of the owners of Zootropolis,
uh-huh.
She and I are going to be doing a panel on the Business of Movie Exhibition.
What?
I wrote on the notes, we're going to be speaking about exhibition.
Period.
Wait a minute, what?
What?
But she is one of my new best friends, mm-hmm. and she and I just really hit it off. We got to know each other working on the Red Rose Film Festival. I'm the president of the board, right. and she is the vice president. And the only reason why it's that way is because I lost the rock, paper, scissors that we were doing.
You had to take more responsibility.
Right. So she and the whole Zootropolis team is really stepping up to support this Red Rose Film Festival. So yeah. It's really exciting. She is a lot of fun. She's a million laughs. And we are going to be doing a panel together talking about our experiences working with studios and some of this sort of behind the scenes movie exhibition type of stuff.
Wow.
So I think that's going to be not only a lot of fun, but also really pretty interesting.
Yeah.
It's not scheduled yet, but again, it'll be one of those sort of panel discussions that's on the schedule to complement the film festival.
That's awesome.
It's shaping up to be a pretty dope weekend.
Oh, my word.
Yeah.
Get ready.
Too bad Marley's going to be in Prague.
Praha
with the Brajas.
With the Brajas.
No, but seriously, I think this is going to be a good time.
Yeah.
I'm really psyched for it.
That's
and
cool.
Also, I don't want to jump ahead too much, but I've been watching, been really upping my dose of independent films for the Red Rose Film Festival. There's some quality movies out there. Really good ones. And I made fun of some of the ones that were not quite that great. And somehow the last, I want to say 10 that I've watched have all been winners. Like there's some good movies coming to this weekend. Yeah. So
that's awesome.
That's something we can look forward to.
Yeah. I mean, almost at that level.
Yeah.
Just a little bit under.
Right.
Birds of Prey and the Emancipation of Harley Quinn had a teaser trailer this weekend. And they made a big deal. They said it's only going to play before It.
Right.
And then the next day it was online.
They should have gotten the same team of lawyers.
That we got?
No, that the Tenet team got.
Oh.
Because they have successfully kept the Tenet trailer offline. Or at least I couldn't find it.
Yeah. No, I think you're right.
It's playing in theaters now.
It's all about how many briefcases you bring to the table.
Right.
But
so tell me about the Birds of Prey trailer. I saw it, but what do you think?
Well, we'll get into it into trailers.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
But I just wanted to say this is like, is this a trend now? Are they going to start doing this more and more?
Well, I thought the... Yeah, I mean, we'll talk about the trailer when we get to it. I thought it was pretty lame, but I still like the concept.
Okay.
I really like the concept of one franchise doing a trailer to run in front of a different specific movie.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's kind of a cute marketing thing. And yeah, if it's a trend for a little while, that'll be cool.
What about the timing of releasing it online? Like, how long do you think that they should wait?
I don't care.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't think that there's more buzz online or
no? I think there is buzz online. I think they should release it online just for the fun of it.
Okay.
Although I have to say, I mean, the plan behind Tenet. Here's the thing: if you're going to keep it offline, be successful like Tenet and actually have it.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. Because like, Harley Quinn, they were like, it's only going to be in front of it. Fine.
Right.
Opening weekend, fine. But then the day after it opened, it was online.
Yeah.
So it was like it was only a special thing if you saw it opening night.
Yeah. I feel like
should have been at least a week.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway.
I guess I'm sorry, I was not following exactly your train of thought. Mm. I'm on the same page as you. Like if it's a franchise specific trailer, like for a specific movie, then yeah, they should make an effort to keep it offline, you know, for the first week. Just for the fun of it.
Right.
I'm not saying it threatens the movie business, or I'm not trying to mix this in. This is not a discussion about streaming day and date type of stuff.
It's more of a hype thing.
Just more of a fun thing. If I'm a moviegoer and I saw this cool trailer, I want to, you know, it brings a little bit of the special, you know, back to the trailers.
Right.
Because I remember even in our time that Penn Cinema's been open, there was a time when you couldn't just click online and see the new trailer for the new show.
Right.
I remember talking to you in Theater 5 one time in front of, I forget what movie it was, but you were all about, like, what trailers are going to be on there?
Yeah. Yeah. Because it wasn't so easy to get them.
It wasn't so easy to get them. And I was also thinking, like, back then, I wasn't hip. I didn't really get it.
I was
like, oh, shit, I better pay attention to what trailers. You know, I better dial this in.
Come on.
Was part of my early education. Yeah.
So what do you got for us?
Well, this is minor news, but for a huge fan, I fell in love with Eddie Murphy as a stand-up comic.
Mm-hmm.
I was not really watching Saturday Night Live, and he had not yet become a movie star, but he had those two stand-up comedy albums, which me and my friend Kyle, shout out to Scoopus, what's up? And me and Kyle listened to those over and over and over.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I could literally, right now, if you wanted me to, I could recite both of those comedy albums.
Okay, let's sit back.
Almost
2 hours.
Word for word.
Go.
I can't because it's so hard R.
Yeah.
Like, I can't on this show because I feel like it would be disrespectful to your mom. I know she's a listener.
Right.
I don't want to offend her. You know what I mean? So anyway, it has been reported now that Eddie Murphy is coming back to stand-up.
Really?
In 2020.
Of course.
Obviously.
What else?
Goes without saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
But no, seriously, he's coming back in 2020 to resume. He announced a tour, a stand-up comedy
really?
Tour.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, didn't we say with that movie, My Name is Dolomite?
Yep.
That this was the resurgence?
Well, that's what he's trying to spin it as.
He is.
He's coming back. He was, the interview where he said he's coming back to do stand-up was an interview he was doing to promote My Name is Dolomite.
Okay.
And so it's all part of that thing, and I think he is. I think he's planning a big 2020 resurgence.
Yeah, like take him seriously again. He's not just,
right.
You know.
My question is, what I can't wait to see, first of all, like if the tour was in November of this year, I don't have any money, so I wouldn't be able to afford to go. But if by next year I have a couple bucks in my pocket that I can afford to go see it, I would love to go see it.
Yeah.
The big question is it going to be like the old days, pretty hard R?
Ooh.
Or will he have softened? You know, is he going to be like, you know, now, that doesn't mean he can't be funny. Seinfeld is famous. I mean, he's one of the funniest guys alive, and he doesn't really swear,
mm-hmm.
you know. So, interesting. We'll see.
Okay. Slight detour here.
Okay.
Top three comedians you'd want to see live.
Chris Rock.
Okay.
Eddie Murphy.
Okay.
And Seinfeld.
Boom.
I mean, that's just off the top of my head.
Yeah.
Who am I missing?
No, I'm just curious.
Yeah. I mean, I saw Chris Rock at Madison Square Garden.
Yeah.
Amy and I saw him there, and it was one of the best nights of my life.
Yeah.
It was so fun. Literally, my face hurt from laughing so hard.
I saw.
And intelligent. It was.
Oh, yeah?
What I took away from that concert was how smart Chris Rock is. I mean, the dude is an intelligent guy. It was really smart. It was hilarious, like I said, how hard I was laughing. But it was intelligent. It was insightful. And I swear to God, I feel like I learned things in that from watching that comic.
This is, and then you show me a picture, and I see you went to a Kid Rock concert. You got confused.
Oh, wait, wasn't I clear? Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, if Eddie Murphy's back on the table, but then you got to wonder, like, if you're talking about, like, going back.
Yeah. Well, they got to be relevant.
Okay, you're not talking about Richard Pryor.
No, they got to be able to perform this year.
Yeah, those would be my three. Chris Rock, Eddie Murphy, and Seinfeld. The only thing that makes me nervous about Seinfeld is, I don't know, I would want to see him just because he's one of my favorites. I love that show, I love him, you know, blah, 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 but I'm not, I don't know. I feel like I would want to see him for the same reason that you would want to see, like, the Rolling Stones or something, just because it's one of the iconic groups.
Yeah. Kevin James,
oh.
Jim Gaffigan, and Pete Holmes.
Oh, my God. Oh, how about Pete Davidson?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I would like to take Seinfeld out.
And put him in.
And put Gaffigan in.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Yeah. Cool. All right, Zombieland Double Tap. It's coming. Big news, not big news, maybe news. It's going to have a stinger. in the credits. So don't leave when the lights go up, depending on where you're at. Because here at Penn Cinema, the lights stay down until the stinger, at least the first stinger, goes.
You bet.
So that's how you know if there's something coming. So
I don't know. What's the question? Is this big news? Like, I think it's a little bit big news because if Zombieland 2 does business, there will be a Zombieland 3. But I kind of feel like we already knew that.
Yeah. I feel like all they're really saying is we're building a franchise.
Right.
And get ready.
Yeah.
So that's all that I really feel like they're saying here. I don't know that it's news. Excuse me. I don't know if it was news, but it was definitely like put out there like it was a big thing, like a surprise.
Yeah.
But everything has stingers now. I mean, not everything, but a lot of things.
I had audiences over the weekend waiting for the stinger from It.
Oh.
And I always have this like little dilemma in my head. Like, do I tell them there's nothing? Or does that ruin the fun of waiting? You know?
You need cards. And then when they're walking out, you go, if you would have listened to the podcast, you would have known there's no It 3 coming.
Yeah.
Because we talked about it.
Yeah. So. You heard it here first.
That's right.
What's up?
All right.
Hit me with some Suicide Squad. We haven't discussed this show in a while.
Like forever.
All right.
Peter Capaldi. Do you know who he is?
No. Should I?
Yeah. I mean, no, but yeah. He was the 13th Doctor of Doctor Who. So not the current one, but the one before the current one.
So we're on number 14.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or 15, I love depending that you on know how you that. Count.
I love that you know that, and I love that there's a controversy about whether it's 14 or 15.
Right. Yep. That's yeah. It depends on who you talk to. So he's going to be in Suicide Squad too.
Okay.
Now, big news over the weekend. He was at Toronto Comic Con, and he said his character he has to be shaved bald.
Ooh.
And he'll have prosthetics.
Like horns.
Who knows?
Yeah.
People were like, who could he be? Is he going to be King Shark, which is that shark guy? But I don't think that he would have prosthetics if he was King Shark, because I think that's probably all CG.
Your description of King Shark was riveting.
A man with a shark's head.
King Shark? Who's that shark guy?
Yeah. Imagine a shark.
Can we play that back? I want to hear that again. Wiki, wiki, wiki. In slow motion this time.
Who's that shark guy? I remember when we talked about King Shark the first time because I thought Michael Rooke was going to be him.
Right.
I sent you pictures.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Who knows what he's going to be?
Have you ever seen those memes of people who look like their dogs? Right? They should do that in Hollywood. They should just cast people like, hey, that dude looks like a shark. Let's get him in there.
Yeah.
All right. I got some news.
Okay, hit me.
Remember that movie Rudy?
Yeah.
One of the great inspirational sports movies of all time.
Right.
The guy, what?
No, but do you think the main actor could have ever gone on to do anything else bigger than...
Yes.
Rudy.
Thank you for that setup. The main actor named Sean Astin would go on to achieve his greatest glory by completing the Iron Man.
Oh, really?
Yes. Mr. Astin, some people, there's a little controversy in the triathlete world because he used his fame and fortune to get himself a coveted slot in the world championships in Hawaii, which everybody else has to qualify for.
Oh.
And for some of us, qualifying for Kona may or may not be out of reach.
Right.
But if you're a world famous actor, then you can go and whatever.
Pen.
Talk to me.
Come on. Did you carry the ring through Mordor? I think a real Iron Man, you know, I think he qualifies.
Right.
Yeah, he climbed Mount Doom.
Okay. He climbed Mount Doom. And he completed an Iron Man in Kona.
Yeah.
And now, perhaps his greatest accomplishments lie before him. We're about to see him star in a Kentucky Fried Chicken commercial.
Oof.
Lo, how the mighty have fallen.
The food that powers every Iron Man. Carb.
Whatever. I don't know. I thought it was interesting. It's not actual news, but I thought it was ironic.
Is he going to be the Colonel?
Yeah.
That's so weird. I don't get that Colonel.
I don't like
thing.
It.
Yeah.
Listen, I don't want to like alienate any listeners, but I don't like Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Well,
I don't like the commercials for it. I don't really love the fact that he was able to compete in Kona without qualifying.
Next thing you're going to say, you have something against the Hot Topic crew.
Lord of the Rings was good.
He did one thing right.
Yeah, right? That's all right. If, if you can go to bed at night knowing that you did Lord of the Rings.
Right.
And Rudy, frankly. Rudy was great. That's enough. I mean, that's part of, like, that's enough. You're good. You're great. But now, like, what? Is he trying to pay the bills? Like, what's the problem?
Well, he was good in Stranger Things as well.
True. True. He was great. And then he got killed off.
Yeah.
He was good in Stranger Things.
If you read, he wrote a book called There and Back Again, which is an autobiography of his time up until and through filming The Lord of the Rings.
Okay.
It's really interesting to see his take on, I don't know if you watched like the special editions of Lord of the Rings. Like if you like seeing how films made and stuff and you like Lord of the Rings, it's hours and hours of behind the scenes stuff. And it's filmed in like, if you watch the stuff, it kind of like builds the story along with the movies, the appendices. Oh, so good. And in it, like he's kind of present and then he kind of like disappears and they just kind of write it off like his family's around. And like everyone else is off doing all these amazing like adventures as a group. And he just chose to like stay back with his family and not be a part of all the like crazy, all the bonding things. So he felt really left out, but it was kind of like self-imposed.
Right.
And this book, like, I don't know, you kind of like get that he kind of regrets that, but at the same time, like, it's like a self-imposed segregation type thing. It's really kind of interesting to, if you watch those and you see how everyone else is like having fun and wishing he was there, and then you see his part where he's like, they don't want me around, but he was just, that was just because he was never around because with his family. He just thought they didn't want him around. So anyway, interesting to read. So Sony, they say there's no going back to Marvel.
Right? Yeah.
And they're like, we're really excited for our new shared Spider-Verse cinematic extravaganza. And get on, they're like, everyone get on board.
Right.
I don't think anyone's getting on board.
You know, when I was learning about the movie business.
Yeah.
I had a few different roads I had to explore.
Yeah.
There was one road of how to run a movie theater.
Mm-hmm.
And I explored that and tried to put the pieces together so that we could open. And then there was another road about the movie business.
Yeah.
And the guy that I met on the road to learning about the movie business who helped me the most was a guy who would go on to become a dear friend of mine named Sil. Sil taught me one of the most important phrases that I think of almost on a weekly basis when I'm dealing with the studios.
Yeah.
You ready?
Yeah.
They're all whores. This headline that you just read is total bullshit. At some point when somebody wants to make money and they realize they're going to make more money with Marvel, they'll bring it back, they'll reconcile, someone will negotiate a contract, blah, blah, blah. The best way to make money is to be in bed with Marvel and Disney. And therefore, at some point, it might not be for a while, like it may not be in Tom Holland, but, you know, this is going to reconcile. Sony is just putting on, in my opinion. Well, no, I don't mean any disrespect to Sony. Sony makes great pictures. I'm super excited for a lot of their titles, and I love doing business with them. But at some point, right now, I think they're just putting on a brave face and saying all the right things to buck up their franchise and stand by their decision.
Yeah.
But over time, the dust will settle, the clouds will part, and they'll see the light, and they'll come back to – I bet you they'll come back to Marvel.
Yeah, I agree.
Which is a great bold statement for me to say because I can never be wrong. Like, if they do come back to Marvel, I'd be like, see, told you. And if they don't, I'd be like, oh, they will. It's like a no-lose proposition. Heads I win, tails you lose.
That's the Ben Ketchum way.
Right. Shout out to Sil, though. I love this guy. This guy is so smart. He shared so much information with me. Love him.
I love the name. It sounds like you met him, like, at the back of a bar, the movie production bar, and he was, like, in the corner at a private table.
Right.
You want to know about movies?
Right. Well, I used to buy him lunch and just he usually ended up paying because he would always tell me, if you ever make any money, you can buy me lunch. But I would go get lunch with him and just invariably I would never get anything to eat because I would just be writing notes and asking questions and he'd be talking and eating and talking and eating. But it was great because his name is Sylvan, but he goes by Sil. And when I was little, kids used to make fun of my name and they say, hey, Penn, where's Sil? Hey, Pencil, where's Sil? Right. And so now, like, there I am 40 years later, or I guess back then it would be 30 years later, going, well, I found him. He was in Hershey all along.
You didn't even know.
I didn't even know. So that was a great hookup. But yeah, he's a good guy.
Wow.
He was here at the grand opening of Penn Cinema.
Really?
Yeah, I made him stand up and take a bow, or not a bow, but a wave. I introduced him and everybody
clapped.
You
didn't make
clapped.
Any jokes about how you had to pencil that in?
Nope. No jokes. I'm forever indebted to this guy.
Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah. So anyway, so Sony, good for you, you know, for taking a good, brave position.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, I bet you they'll go back. Podcast at PennCinema.com.
We said it here. Just wait. It might take 20 years.
Right.
All right.
Speaking of the Batman.
Yeah. Oh, because we were right there.
Variety reported that Matt Reeves has finally finished a script.
Yeah.
Were we worried about this?
I don't know. I mean, I guess I kind of thought it was done already.
That's what I'm saying.
Because, like, they're casting left and right.
Maybe what they mean is, like, they had the storyline done, and now, okay, we're done with the actual script.
Yeah, that's what I probably.
So, like, the guy who wrote the line, I'm Batman.
Yeah.
They wrote that.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Groundbreaking.
I wonder what the new line is going to be for that show. For that movie.
I can't even think. I was trying to come up with like some rhyme of Robert Pattinson, but I can't. Yeah. I'm excited for more of this. Like, I think we've been given a lot of hate and it deserves it, but I kind of also want to see what, like, now that there's a script out there, I want to know kind of like, who are the bad guys going to be for real? Is it going to be like 1, 2, 7?
You really think we've been throwing shade on this franchise? I don't remember. I mean, I remember making some jokes. Yeah, DC in general. But yeah. I apologize if I've led you to believe that I'm not psyched for this Batman.
I want to know more information.
Yeah, I'm on board. I'm excited for it. I'm excited for Robert Pattinson.
Yeah.
Good for him. Like, I think he's going to do great. Like, I don't know. I'm excited for it.
It could be interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. DC, like, yeah, they dug themselves a hole, and there's a lot of things you can make fun of, and I'm sure I've made fun of them too, but, like, it doesn't mean I'm not excited for it.
Right. I think this could be a bold new thing. Look at my hands. Look what you did to me with this crayon. My hands are just covered in purple. Sorry.
Look at what you did to me with this crayon.
Yeah.
While we're recording the show, I've been doodling on David's hands.
I sit down here for, and usually there's pens for our notes, and Penn gave me a crayon, and I'm holding it here. It's just like all over my hands now.
I thought it would be funny if he walked in and saw the notes with a couple crayons out, like making fun of our childish humor.
Yeah.
Our childlike ways.
Not like we would make fun of the Batman.
Whoa.
Or Batman.
No.
Or whatever.
Never.
No. All right. Haley Atwell. Peggy Carter.
Yes.
She has signed on for the next Mission Impossible movie. Now, you have two dates here. Explain what these two dates are.
The next two Mission Impossible movies are being shot back-to-back.
Oh!
The first one comes out in July of 2021, and then the next one comes out in August of 2022. And McQuarrie's has sort of... I thought it was a really interesting interview that he gave, where he sort of said, like, well, we talked our way into this. We better back it up.
Wait, they're filming them at the same time?
I don't know if same time is correct, but I... Okay. But yeah, back to back.
They're still a year apart.
Back to the Future style.
Whoa.
Isn't that what they did for Back to the Future? I'm pretty sure they did.
I think they
did. Yeah.
Or The Matrix.
I think Back to the Future was the first time, at least that I remember, reading news about, like, they shot the sequels back to back.
Oh.
Podcast at PennCinema.com. If you remember an earlier, I think it was Back to the Future, Matrix.
Yeah. I'm just curious why it's so far apart, but...
Well, it's only, I mean, it's a year.
Yeah. All right. Okay. I mean, if they're filming them at the same time.
The first one comes out in July of 21, when would you have the second one?
Well, I would have thought it would come out in March of 2022.
I think that's too close. I think you have Mission Impossible fatigue.
Really?
True. I'm completely on board with this.
See, I would have thought.
I'm psyched for this release.
I would have thought home video hits a couple weeks later, you got a new movie out.
What's the matter with you? Who invited you?
I'm all types of controversy today.
Controversy.
Controversy.
Oh my God. I don't know. I mean, I love the Mission Impossible franchise.
Yeah.
I think we've talked before how much we both love Tom Cruise, even though he's certifiable.
Mm-hmm.
It's all good. Like, I think this is great. And I love the fact that Macquarie's, however you say it, I love that he's sort of owning the fact that he has sort of bet all in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Sort of, he's owning the fact that expectations are high and that he has done that to himself. And that makes me feel like he is ready for the challenge and ready to step up.
And Hayley Atwell is great.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be awesome.
Yeah. I think it's going to be awesome too.
Yeah.
You know what other movie is sneaking up on us? Uh-oh. It's going to be really big. So we're talking 2021 and 22. Now let's zoom forward to September of 2019.
Oh boy.
Downton Abbey. You psyched for this?
I'm pumped, dude.
Let me tell you what I'm psyched for.
Yeah.
Penn Cinema Huntington Valley.
Yeah.
Is doing Ladies Night. On Thursday, September 12th, a week before it opens.
Yeah.
A special screening of Downton Abbey at Penn Cinema Huntington Valley. Now we're also screening it at the other two Penn Cinema locations. But the cool kids are going to be at Huntington Valley.
Yeah.
That's a good time right there. Shout out to my girl Jess, who is putting the party together.
Ooh,
I'm really excited
boy.
For this. That's going to be a good time. So Downton Abbey opens on Friday, September 20th. But the studio is doing something really interesting, which has caused mass confusion and chaos with our poor customers who have a little trouble when you mix things up,
yeah.
You know. So typically a movie opens on Friday, September 20th, which means there are sneaks the day before the 19th. And that there are. It opens really for real on 7 o'clock Thursday, September 19th. But the studio has, a week before that, Thursday night, September 12th, opened a one-time show at 7 p.m. of mm-hmm. Downton Abbey on Thursday, September 12th for a movie that doesn't open for real until a week later. I think this is a smart marketing campaign, and I'm telling you that the tickets, just before we did this podcast, I added a third auditorium
wow.
in Lititz because the first two are close to being sold out.
Wow.
Yeah. So this movie is going to do big business. I think it's going to really sneak up on people.
Downton Abbey snuck up on me.
Yeah.
In general. How'd you get into it?
Amy.
Yeah?
All good things in my life have come to me through Amy.
Really?
Yep. I'm into triathlon because I took up running, and I took up running because Amy ran the New York City Marathon, and I was so inspired that that's what I wanted to do.
I don't think she introduced us, though, so what does that say?
What?
What?
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm saying, David.
Cue the Charlie Brown music.
Wah, wah.
Yeah. No.
No, I made fun of Amy, and I used to walk into the living room. She'd be watching Downton Abbey, and I'd start talking in a British accent, and she, you know, being the generally obnoxious guy that I am.
Yeah.
And she'd be screaming at me, "Shut up! You're ruining it! Oh, you can't be in here if you're gonna make fun of it!" Yeah. You know. And then I forget what. Maybe I was just too tired to leave the room or whatever. But one day, like, it came on, and I started watching it. And I fell in love, like, immediately.
Yeah.
And then, of course, once it was over, we had to buy the set, and we watched the whole thing, you know, numerous times.
Yeah.
Yeah. How'd you get into it?
The first season was out, and I think I had a friend DVRing it or something. And, like, my crew of friends were mostly female, and they
Your
were
posse?
Like, yeah, my posse. Yeah. And they were like, "We're having a Downton Abbey night. Do you wanna come?" And I was like, "It's like a lady show, whatever. But I'll go to hang out with my friends." So I went, and they were watching episodes 3 and 4 that night. And we watched episodes 3 and 4, and I loved it so much, I went home and watched 1, 2, 3, and 4. Like,
yeah.
Got fully caught in.
Yeah.
Caught up, like, in the same night. So that's a lot of Downton Abbey, like, in a row. And I've been hooked ever since.
Amy said something the other day that cracked me up. She said she was excited about Downton Abbey, but then when she thinks about it too long, she gets sad.
Oh.
Because She said the excitement about the movie coming out, like, once you watch them, like, it's a movie.
Yeah.
It's not like the series is coming back and she has another, you know, 8 episodes or, you know, whatever. And, of course, the movie's going to be amazing, but the fear is, or the wish is like, oh, I wish the show was back on.
Okay. I think it's time for us to draw a line in the sand.
Hit me.
Who's your character in Downton Abbey?
Oh.
Because I'm a Lady Edith guy.
You're an Edith guy?
Yeah. I like Lady Edith.
I'm going to dodge this one. I'm all over the place.
Can't even remember. That's I can't remember their names.
Yeah. Pretty much.
That's so smooth. And I wasn't letting it go at all.
It would be wrong of you to let it slide.
Yeah. Oh, there's just so many good ones. All right, let's move on to trailers. Start us off on...
I can't, because now I'm trying to think...
Of who you're down
who I liked in Downton Abbey.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I liked all of them. I think whoever... what's going through my head right now is I think I would like the guys downstairs.
Yeah?
Like all those characters, like, can I, the woman, the one that I like watching the most is the chef, the lady, the redhead chef.
Okay.
What's her name? Oh, snap! Who's calling him? Pot meet the kettle. Kettle meet the pot. What's up?
Mrs. Because it's Mrs.
It's like something Plattimore.
Yeah, yeah, Mrs. Platypus. Padmore. Yeah.
I don't know. I just watched a special. Amy and I were watching, like, ITF was doing some kind of a, like, they had two of the cast members interviewing, and she was one of them. So maybe that's what influenced me. But I love them. I love the downstairs crew.
Yeah.
That's definitely
Mr.
like
Mr. Bates. That's my downstairs.
Mr. Bates
he's
is
my
guy.
Favorite
yeah,
guy downstairs.
He's
yeah.
great. So, all right. Well, anyway, thanks for embarrassing me on that.
Throwing it back in my face.
Because I have such a good reputation for remembering names and details.
Super great reputation. Right.
All right. Jojo Rabbit, trailer number 2.
Mm.
I loved this trailer.
I did too.
Crazy or what?
It is. This trailer, as much as I enjoyed it, I was almost a little scared.
Wait, are we sure this is not a Wes Anderson movie?
That's what it looks like, right?
Right.
But I was almost a little bit afraid that I think it's going to be good. I think it's going to be funny, really funny. I was almost afraid of all of the Nazi stuff might turn people off. Do you think?
I mean, I hear you. That's a fair concern.
It almost paints, like, it doesn't, but it's kind of comically painting Nazis in a... not so brutal, like in the trailer.
Like calling the Nazis buffoons glosses over the horror, the atrocities that they committed.
And I guess the main character wants to be a Nazi, so he looks at them through rose-colored eyes, right. I think is what we're seeing.
Yeah.
Which, by the end of the trailer, if you watch it the whole way through, you see that the movie's going to deal with that issue.
Because the lady, Scarlett Johansson, says, you're just a little boy who wants to wear a cute uniform and be in a club.
Right.
Yeah. Which is really part of what the Nazi movement appealed to.
Right.
I guess.
Well, to the young, I'm sure, definitely. And they're harboring a Jew in their house. And that's kind of what conflicts.
Gesundheit. That's a line from the trailer.
It's a line from the trailer.
Don't write in. Don't write in some kind of hate mail.
Yeah.
That's a line from the trailer.
I really like this trailer a lot, though.
I thought the trailer was great. I laughed out loud and, I'm really looking forward to this movie, and it looks like a Wes Anderson film.
Yeah. Trailer of the week?
Close.
Okay.
Probably the best trailer. If we're going for quality, it's probably the trailer of the week, but I'm holding out on a different one. Is this your trailer of the week?
I think it's probably my trailer.
JoJo, of the week. Trailer number 2, David's trailer of the week.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Birds of Prey teaser that we talked about earlier. Now, all the hubbub about this.
Hubbub. What's other hubbub?
Yeah, they were like, big deal, it's coming. Almost no footage. It over half of it is just like, it looks like it's opening for it. And then she comes out and she's like, I'm tired of clowns. Yeah. And then a bunch of like flashes of scenes.
Did you do the voiceover work? Because that's exactly what it sounded like.
I did actually. Wow. They called me for the ADR.
I would love to find out that you're secretly like some Hollywood icon who flies into Lititz to do the podcast.
Yeah. I just didn't feel like this was worth like the hype.
Yeah.
Or time. It was barely anything more than the other one was, which was just them spinning in circles.
I thought it was really cool. And it would have been even cooler if there wasn't all the hype ahead of it.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't that cool. It wasn't groundbreaking. It wasn't thrilling, whatever. But I just thought it was cool that they, like, had that character do a specific teaser trailer to run in front of a specific movie. And I thought it was, like, it wasn't funny, but it was kind of funny, like, how she popped a balloon. And when she's walking up to the screen, she's supposed to look like Pennywise, like... I get it. Like, it's fun. Like, I thought it was fun in a, like, shrug your shoulders kind of way. What was funny, I don't know if all the theaters played it this way, but we played it, the last two trailers before it were The Joker and then Birds of Prey.
Okay.
Which, in a way, is kind of made Birds of Prey look bad. Because, like, you're watching this incredible trailer for Joker.
Yeah.
This incredible masterpiece of a film. And then you get this little throwaway trailer. So, yeah, I thought the trailer was fun and, like, whatever. Like, okay, let's not overanalyze it. It is what it is. It was a little teaser trailer to try to draw some attention to Birds of Prey, which, by the way, mission accomplished.
Yeah.
I mean, there's an entire audience of people who are, even in passing, made a comment about Birds of Prey that otherwise the movie's not on their radar.
Right.
And I love the fact that in the trailer they make mention of the word Gotham.
Mm-hmm.
To tie it into to give the audience a sense of what is this movie, because some people that are watching it are not hip to Harley Quinn.
Right. I here's the thing. I'm not too impressed by it, and I think there was too much hype. If there wasn't hype for it, and it would have just happened.
Right.
If I would have been one of those people sitting in the auditorium who didn't know it was coming.
Right.
I would have been like, that was really cool because I thought the movie was starting.
Right.
And that's how they play it out. Like it is starting, and then it turns out to be a trailer. So you have to play it right before it starts.
I agree with you completely. I thought it was great. I'm sure that people who didn't know it was coming thought it was great.
Right.
It did not live up to the hype.
Right. So I saw a trailer that you haven't seen yet. And it's the one that everyone has been asking us about, Tenet.
How could you have seen it? It's not we haven't played it at Penn Cinema
yet.
Well,
this is...
It's not available online.
Yeah.
And Penn Cinema has not yet played it.
Yeah.
So...
I went undercover. I put on a mustache over top of my current actual beard and another pair of glasses over top my glasses, along with a trench coat and a fedora, and I strolled into another theater and saw it.
Gotcha. Okay.
And I was like, you don't know me.
Okay.
I'm pretty inconspicuous.
Yeah, right.
And they played it.
You blend in.
Yeah. They played it before, and you know what I said? I said... What's that doing before anything other than the other thing? I thought that was only supposed to be in front of...
Hobbs and Shaw.
Hobbs and Shaw.
Right.
So I was both shocked and awed at the fact that it was happening. Also, this movie, this trailer, while it successfully got me interested in the title, it does not deserve all the mystery surrounding it whatsoever.
Okay, so that's your review of the trailer, and we will further discuss the business behind Tenet.
Yeah.
Because I know we got some listener notes asking, hey, Penn, by the way, whatever happened with that?
Yeah.
We'll get to that when we get to listener notes.
Right. So, okay.
So what are you saying? It was a good trailer, but it wasn't worth... it wasn't worth the hype?
It's a good teaser. It's not worth the hype.
Okay.
It got me excited for the movie. It successfully did that, but it's not anything special.
The next trailer we want to talk about is called Black Christmas.
Yeah.
Blumhouse production?
Yeah.
Comes out in December. The week before Star Wars. Come on, man.
What kind of decision is that?
That puts me as a theater owner in a really difficult position, because what it tells me is, okay, that's one screen that I'm going to have to not be playing Star Wars on.
Yeah.
So I'm going to really think carefully about whether or not I'm going to play this film. And I'll tell you right now, I'm probably not going to play it in Huntington Valley.
Wow.
A sevenplex.
Yeah.
There's just not going to be room for it. So the trailer was like, whatever, and we can talk about that in a minute. But I do want to go on record. This trailer had the line of the week. There's like all this like evil stuff starts happening into these college kids around Christmas time. But then they start fighting back. And the fighting back line is this girl from the sorority is like taking on the evil monster guy. And she's like, ho, 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 bitches. I thought it was perfect.
My comment was how far Carrie Elwes has fallen.
Ooh.
Just like, I guess he's always been, and he wasn't in Stranger Things either, but he's always been like a foolhardy, comical, lighthearted type of character to me. So that's what I expect when I see him. So when he plays these dark, dark, even I guess in Saul, like I barely recognized him in Saul, but it's just kind of like, oh man, my boy.
Yeah.
Remember the good days?
I think this movie is a paycheck movie.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be whatever. And if you're really bored and you want to see a horror movie, you'll probably go watch it.
Right.
But you'll probably save your money and go see Star Wars instead.
Will you?
Yes, you will. The next trailer, Just Mercy.
Okay.
This is another in the running for Trailer of the Week. It's not my Trailer of the Week, but it's up there.
This looks like it's going to be intense.
Yeah.
It's a movie about a young defense lawyer.
Michael B. Jordan.
Michael B. Jordan taking on death row cases?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yep.
Yeah. And basically, like, all these cases...
It's a true story.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. All these cases of guys who were kind of just, like, given death row and maybe not given a fair chance. He's coming back to try and give them another chance at, I don't know if he gets them out or just not death row.
Right.
Maybe just life sentences.
Jamie Foxx?
Yeah, Jamie Foxx.
I mean, you got to see the movie to see how it ends.
Right.
Unless you know your Southern law history.
Mm-hmm. Like I'm sure you do. I've seen the briefcases.
Yeah. I got it. How many briefcases do I need to pull out right now? this movie looks powerful. I'm sort of can't wait to see this movie and also kind of dreading it because I know it's going to be an incredibly heavy.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks. I think there's going to be a few Oscar performances in it.
Mm-hmm.
Michael B. Jordan, wow. I mean, he's quickly becoming one of my favorite guys.
He's really good.
I mean, he's great so in these heavy movies. He's a talented actor. I loved him in Creed. Like, this guy, he's got the goods.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm down.
Where do we go from here?
Well, some people, I mean, people have written in and described us.
Right.
Right. And they're often like, you guys are bad.
You're bad boys.
Bad boys for life.
Right.
Which is the title of this new movie coming out.
What you gonna do?
It's starring Will Smith and...
Martin Lawrence. Get there, David.
I got it. And they're back at it. Martin Lawrence retired.
I'm going to just tell you something. This is my trailer of the week.
This is your trailer of the week?
Bad Boys for Life is my trailer of the week.
Wow.
And I tell you, I know it's not the best trailer, and I know it's not going to be the best movie.
Mm-hmm.
I think Jojo Rabbit and Just Mercy are probably, or not, I'm not going to say probably, they definitely are better movies.
But this is going to make more money.
But this, first of all, this movie is going to make tons more money. But more importantly, this movie, and specifically this trailer, had me laughing out loud. I mean, even from the opening sequence when the camera is like glossing over that hot looking Porsche and it's like playing this inspiring music and then Martin Lawrence opens his door into a fire hydrant. You're like, it's just perfect. I'm so simple. Like that, it just made me laugh. And the two of them have really good chemistry. They're funny together.
Yeah.
I think the movie looks like fun. And I will say also, not for nothing, this is the only trailer on our list that anybody outside of the podcast wrote me about.
Really?
Like, when it dropped, I got a number of texts from different friends of mine saying, oh my God, did you see that Bad Boys for Life trailer? So funny.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. January release.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Perfect. I love it. Get through the holidays, get through the hype. What are you going to do in January? You're going to watch Bad Boys. And guess what? The trailer for Bad Boys is going to be on all those big December releases.
There you go. I hadn't thought about that. I was thinking, do they not have enough faith that it's a summer blockbuster?
I mean, That's probably a valid point, but the studio might have just felt like, I feel like this, that's a fair question. That's a fair question.
Yeah. Because I think...
I forget what studio it is, and therefore I forget what's coming out next summer.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't remember.
But...
Probably, well, it feels like a Fox movie.
It does. I'm not sure why they didn't make it a summer release, but I like January as opposed to December for this particular title.
Right, yeah. I agree with that, for sure. It'll be something good for January.
I'll put this trailer in front of Jumanji. Every single show of Jumanji, I have a trailer for Bad Boys.
Perfect. Okay, here's an odd one.
Yeah.
I found this morning and I thought, is this real? I don't know.
Is it?
It's a comedy.
We still don't know if it's real?
Well, I read the description twice.
I watched two fake trailers for Tenet. So by the time I got to Mr. America, I had my guard up.
Yeah. This movie's called Mr. America, and it's a documentary, and I can't tell if it's a mockumentary or a documentary that they just, like, they made and realized was hilarious.
It's 100% mockumentary.
It's 100% mockumentary.
Yes.
It looks funny.
It looks funny as hell.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how funny it'll actually be, but it looks funny.
I want to learn more about this movie. My comment to you was, I don't know if I just saw the best trailer or wasted 2.5 minutes of my life.
I love when he tells he's talking to the lady. He's like, I'm running for DA. She's like, oh, and you're running for DA? He's like, yeah, I just said it 3 times.
I like when he's trying to oust the corrupt politician by calling him a rat and then going to the deli and wanting them to put up a political sign in their window that says, we have a rat problem. And I like the guy who's getting interviewed going, well, this guy doesn't live in the district. He's not a lawyer. And
he has no chance of winning.
He's literally not a viable candidate.
And he was on trial for murder.
Right. You know, I think this is a toned down Bruno type of situation.
Yeah.
It's not as in-your-face vulgar as Bruno.
Right.
But I think it's the same type of thing. And I don't know. I would kind of give it a chance, or I think it would maybe have a nice run at Zootropolis or something like that.
But, yeah.
I think the movie looks funny. I'm going to look up who's the distributor and see what the deal is.
Yeah. I didn't look at it and think, oh, this is a wide-release film. And no. This is like a tinier thing.
I wouldn't be surprised if it turns out this is straight to video.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it said in theaters at the end.
Right, but it did. Definitely,
I bet you're...
Definitely did.
You're probably right, yeah. All right.
By theaters, they mean David's home theater
David's
in the basement.
Yeah. Come see it. We got another horror film here.
Oh,
Gretel and Hansel.
Yes.
Switching it up.
Yeah.
I'm working it
out. Oh, I see what you did there.
Yeah.
Very clever.
Yeah. And I know, right? You would have never thought...
Oh, you're so clever. Yeah. I would have liked to have been in the room when the one dude was like, all right, here's what we're going to do. Did we check this room for bugs? Because I don't want this idea to leak. We're going to switch the names. We're going to take Hansel and Gretel, call it Gretel and Hansel. And everybody in the room was like, brilliant.
Nobody will know what to expect with the film.
Remember that beer commercial? Brilliant.
Okay. What did you think?
Okay. All kidding aside,
yeah.
I actually loved this trailer. I love that they seem to be sort of taking... To me, this is kind of like... So Marvel is an incredible set of franchises based on comic books, based on literature, you know, from whatever. And the Grimm fairy tales... is a set of literature. I'm not necessarily trying to compare Marvel Comics to Grimm fairy tales, but you could make a connection there.
Yeah.
And if somebody wants to continue in other words, I'm not saying they're the first people to do this, but I like the idea of somebody taking Grimm's tales seriously and really making a good high-end go at it. And this feels like it might be the first really good high-end run at a Grimm fairy tale.
I really like the actress that's playing the witch.
Yeah.
I can never remember her name, but she was in the Dune miniseries. She played Lady Jessica. She was great in that, and she was in the Children of Dune miniseries. And
thank you for clarifying.
Yeah. Sorry.
We don't want to get flooded.
So many people
with
writing
Dune
in.
Fans.
Oh.
They're a tricky bunch. Dune crowd. I mean, talk about pinkies out. Forget it.
They both pinkies out at the same time.
What's up?
What's up?
They got two cups of tea at the same time.
Yeah, that's how crazy
double
it is.
Pinkies.
And she was also the Borg Queen in First Contact.
Okay.
So she's really good at being like kind of creepy like that. So
I'm excited to see this movie. I forget when it comes out, but like right now, if this movie was coming out this week, I don't think I'm so saturated with horror movies. Like,
yeah.
I'm good.
Yeah. I don't know that I need to see this movie, but it looks interesting.
Yeah.
Because horror is not generally my thing.
Right.
So.
All right. So that's it for this week's trailers. Stay tuned next week.
Did you watch this?
I did.
Okay. All right.
Set it up.
I wanted to make a point. I'm always bashing on Star Wars, right?
What?
Who would have thought? But there's good Star Wars content out there. And some fans put together a trailer for the character Ahsoka that could have been a standalone movie. And I made Penn watch it. And I'm like, this could have been a movie that I would have watched. Not necessarily, it was pulled from the animated stuff, but like this kind of character-driven story is what Star Wars needs to move forward as a franchise. I mean, it's about Anakin's apprentice, who then she left, and now she feels guilty because if she would have been there, he wouldn't have gone dark, and she's got to go fight Darth Vader. Like, I think that that is much more compelling than the Rey story to me.
Yeah.
And Penn, on the other hand, does not care, and this was a huge mistake. But whatever.
I have a challenge to our listeners.
Yeah.
podcast@penncinema.com.
Mm-hmm.
Send me the name of one person that you know that is more ridiculous than David Moulton. Find me a man who is more ridiculous or woman than David Mullen, because I would contend there's no such being. This guy is sitting across from me trying to tell me, thank God there's some character-driven storylines coming to Star Wars in this fan-made trailer, because there's never been a character in Star Wars before. God forbid, one of the most iconic franchises of all time with the best character storytelling ever. Thank God for this fan-made trailer to finally bring some character development to the franchise.
I shouldn't have said it was fan-made, and you would have been like, oh, this is a legit thing.
Oh, my God. Ridiculous. File this under ridiculous. Now, with all that being said, yeah, it was a cool trailer. Definitely. We should post I'll post a link on our Penn Cinema Pod, the Penn Cinema Podcast Facebook page.
Okay.
So that our listeners can see exactly, because I tried Googling the trailer first and I got a bunch of different things.
Right.
So I'll post.
I did put the link in there, though, for you.
You did.
I? Yeah.
You did. And I did. I cut and pasted
okay.
instead of copy and paste. But yeah, I the trailer was awesome, and I think it's a great idea. Do you think there will ever be a full-length feature film animated Star Wars?
Again?
Yeah.
Because they did the Clone Wars one. Do you remember that?
I do.
Yeah.
I remember it didn't do great.
No, but then the series that spun right. off of it did really, really well.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's hard to say. I bet now that they have Disney Plus, I don't think they'll do a theatrical.
I think you're right.
I think it'll go straight to.
Although
streaming.
Now that they have you to suggest
yeah.
that they develop characters throughout the franchise,
have you guys thought about making this character development?
Fascinating insights. The world is lucky to have you, David.
Disney, hire me as a consultant. Quick, before someone else snatches me up. Sony's right outside.
Right. Waiting for us to finish recording.
What do you think of the Spider-Man franchise?
Spider-Man, they're getting you in line to fix up the James Bond franchise.
Oh, that's right.
You need some character development over there.
Less injuries on set.
Oh, my God.
Okay. All right.
33 weeks. That's a pretty good run. Pretty good run, David.
We did a good. It was a good shot.
That's 32 more than anyone expected we'd make it.
All right. Okay. This week we saw it.
Yes, we did. Chapter 2. We both watched it.
We both watched it.
Yep.
Let's get into it. So spoilers from here on out. Because I really feel if you haven't seen this movie, don't listen to this. Don't listen to the review. Because go into it fresh. I think it's
100%.
I think it's one of those movies that really benefits for not knowing what's going on.
Right.
So okay, what did you think of it?
I loved it. I mean, I think for me this sort of falls into like I've been talking to a lot of people in the lobby over the weekend, and the majority of people loved it. And the people who did not love it were pinky out, you know, like highfalutin, you know, oh, the CGI wasn't perfect on the kids, you know, and stuff like that. But I feel like this movie, my appreciation of this movie reveals the fact that I just want to be entertained. I'm an easy critic. I'm sure there are things, you know, that we can find problems with, but I thought it was entertaining. I didn't look at my watch. The runtime didn't bother me. Partly because I watched it on a morning when I wasn't, you know, if you have a busy day and you're squeezing a movie in, you know, sometimes the runtime, you're a little more sensitive to it. But I watched it on a morning when I had a nice window of opportunity. And yeah, I don't know. What about you?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
The word that comes to mind, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I feel like I didn't answer you. The what I specifically enjoyed about it was that I found the conclusion very satisfying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and I felt like it was so, I feel no need whatsoever for a chapter 3.
No.
I mean, I know it doesn't exist because it's based on the book, but I'm just saying, like, before I saw the movie, I thought, oh, if the movie makes a lot of money, there'll be a third one, blah, blah, blah. But having seen this now, I really felt as though it all comes together really nicely. I was really satisfied, very content. And the guy drives off into the sunset, and I'm done. I'm like, this is great, satisfied, wrap it up, done.
Yeah. No, I agree. I very much enjoyed this. I think it's a tough call on which is better, the first or the second.
I think the first is better.
Yeah. I would say that probably the first is better. It's weird because the first movie, I'm going to say opinions here, and they're not negative, so you might think that they are. This is just factual interpretation.
These aren't the droids you're looking for.
Yeah, these aren't the droids you're looking for. The first movie was like, scare my eyes shut.
Right.
Creepy. Like, leave visual impressions on my mind that I still sometimes think about.
Right.
This movie was not that. It was creepy.
Right.
But it wasn't scary creepy. And I think that's because the movie grows with the actors. It's like in the first one, it's all about the kids and scaring the kids, and the stuff is way more creepy to like scare the kids. And in this one, it's like they're full adults. So even them as adults, like they get scared, but they still process the fear differently, like with quips or like they recover their emotions a lot faster or that kind of thing.
Right.
So, but I didn't think that really took away from anything. I just thought it was kind of like, if you're expecting the same scares as the first movie, I wouldn't.
Although there were a few.
Yeah.
They got me.
Yeah. There's a couple, but to me, it was more gross out stuff.
Definitely a lot of gross out stuff, and definitely a few like that really surprised me.
Yeah. The Pomeranian was probably my favorite.
Which one is that?
Where they had the doors not scary, scary, very scary.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the not scary ones is the dog. And they're like, it's got to be a trick.
Right.
It's got to be a trick.
Right.
And it's not doing
so
anything.
Cute.
Yeah. Here's something that really surprised me about this movie. And you watched it by yourself. So right? You saw it.
Yep.
So I don't remember the last time I was at a comedy where the whole audience laughed in unison as much as they did and as often as they did during this movie.
Well, and that's what one of my little highfalutin film critics wanted to complain about, was that this movie tried to be funny when it should have been scary.
Yeah. Well, there were times where, like, it was scenes that were meant to be scary, where, like, Pennywise would come out and do something, and, like, the whole audience laughed. Like, it wasn't just me with my pinkies out laughing at it. Like, everyone laughed at this at the scene. But it didn't take away from the movie to me. Like, it kind of made it almost, like, more fun.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I didn't feel it took away from the movie at all. And this comment sort of segues into Bill Hader.
Yeah.
I mean, was that a masterful performance? Is he now on his way to be a proper movie star? I thought he was brilliant.
Yeah.
I loved him. Of course, he's funny. I mean, he's comic. I mean, that's what he is. But he also delivered, I thought, you know, brilliant performance. And I think this movie was almost the perfect vehicle because it allowed him to be funny. And but he also, you know, showed his acting chops.
Right. Yeah. I thought the casting of the kids as adults was done really well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So overall, I'm totally on board with this movie.
Yep,
I don't know if I have anything else. There's not much else to say without getting too into detail of spoiling stuff or that kind of stuff. But it was a good movie. I'm actually going to see it again.
Are you?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So
maybe you get to see the Tenet trailer again.
Maybe, because I'll be here. All right. What happened this weekend at the theater?
Well, can we just back up a half a step?
Well,
what do we think about the Tenet trailer? Should I put it on? Do people care? Podcast at Penn Cinema. If you think I should take the Tenet trailer, which got a little buzz when it was released sort of exclusively on Hobbs and Shaw, should I put that on like It and Ad Astra and some of the movies where it makes sense? Or do you feel like the window of opportunity, do you care?
I'd say put it on. Because like I said, it was effectively got me interested in To Want to Know More.
Yeah.
It's not much special, but it kind of had the same effect of like, what is The Matrix?
Yeah.
Kind of thing. Like, it doesn't really tell you much, but it's just like, something's coming. Like,
yeah.
More news is coming.
Okay.
So.
What happened this weekend? Not much. I mean, we discussed It. Pretty big success.
Yeah.
Didn't get the numbers of the first entry, but I thought it was solid. And in Lititz, Overcomer continues to just kill.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Doing big business. I think that movie is going to hold for quite a while.
Wow. Very cool.
So that's good.
Very cool. All right. Moving on to listener notes and questions.
My favorite segment. What's up?
What's up? Podcast at PennCinema.com if you want to take part in this segment. All right. Last week you put out a thing. You said, hey, if you watched a movie a million times as a kid and you want to see a movie here, let me know.
Because we discussed, if you've seen it on TV 100 times, seeing it on the big screen is a totally different experience. It's almost like a different movie.
Right.
In a way.
Right. So Diamond Eye Derek wrote in. And he said, yo.
Yo.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 1 and 2. Has that ever shown here?
No.
Has anyone ever recommended that?
No. I wrote him back and I was like, that's a great pick.
Yeah.
I mean, we've never thought of it. Nobody ever wrote in for it before. Right. I guarantee it has been discussed. Hmm. Like some of the gang that worked here, Pirate Dave remembers Kenny probably. Like there's no way that generation of staff and managers, there's no way that generation did not want this movie on the big screen. And I wouldn't even be surprised if they did, in fact, watch it privately on the big screen, like after hours. I thought that was cool. I thought that was a cool suggestion. I'm going to have to think carefully about how we package that because I'm not sure. Do you think there's a big audience that wants to come see that?
It's hard to say. That's because one of those movies that surprises me every time.
It surprises me. Well, that's a really good point. It might be one of those ones where you're like, because that happens to us with Fathom events a lot, where we agree because we're sort of, you know, play nicely with Fathom. We put it up there for no other reason than just to put it up there. And then all of a sudden it's sold out. And we're like, wait, what?
Well, hold on. What?
So, I don't know. I definitely take this seriously enough that I'm working on, I'm chewing on it. How do I play it? I think it definitely would be fun.
Very cool. Very cool.
It might be one of those ones where we do it even with no expectations. Like, even if it's just Diamond Eye Derek by himself, like, great.
Got him.
Done.
All right. So hit me with something.
Well, we got confirmation. You know, David.
Yeah.
The Penn Cinema Podcast is not just domestic.
No.
No. We're international, bitch.
What?
Yeah. Yes, we are overseas. We've broken into the European market. We're a big deal in Pragua.
Pragua.
Which is properly pronounced Praha.
Praha.
Yeah. And last week we spoke and discussed whether or not, in fact, we were told before Marley went to Prague, we were told that it was pronounced Praha. But I was a little nervous. Mm. I felt like maybe someone's playing a ha-ha joke on me. Yeah. What is this? What kind of joke?
The ha-ha about Praha?
Right. But we did get news from one of our listeners in Praha that the Brahas do, in fact, pronounce it Praha.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to get over there. I'm going to go over there in November and check up on things.
Whoa.
And meet some of these Brahas.
Yeah, Brahas, watch out.
Yeah, and the first thing I'm going to say when I'm off the plane.
Because the Daha is coming in.
Right, Daha. What's up? I'm going to get off the plane like Bruno Seil. What's up, Praha? So anyway, yeah.
That's awesome. Hey, so Pirate Dave. Right. He gave us a big rant.
Well, man, you know what I did? I forget if it was a subject line or the first sentence, and he said something about, like, sorry for the rant. And before I even read the rant, I stopped what I was doing, and I went downstairs, and I got a cup of coffee. I stretched, you know, loosened up a little bit, did some stretches. I want to be when Pirate Dave, a.k.a. you, says that he has a rant. I know it's going to be good. I want to be ready to soak it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Pirate Dave, he's got some issues with the Tenet trailer. He says, why only theaters still?
All right. You know what it's time for? It's time for Who Read It Best.
Okay.
Here's the headline.
Yeah.
Here's the headline the way David Moulton reads it.
Mm-hmm.
Why only in theaters? What's the point? Here's the headline the way Pirate Dave intended it.
Yeah.
Why only in theaters? What's the point? Who read it best? Podcast at PennCinema.com.
Yeah.
I would argue that Pirate Dave had some more passion.
He definitely had more passion.
This was not a passing question of like, why only in theaters? Like this was, he was concerned.
Yeah, there were like paragraphs.
Was he aggravated? Would that be the right word?
Yeah. But one of the things that he pointed out is, as a movie fan, especially with how, like, you weren't able to have it for Hobbs and Shaw right away, and he's like, it was too convoluted. If he was, like, setting out to see this trailer and experience it in theaters, like what he called, what's his name? What's the director?
Christopher Nolan.
Christopher Nolan. He called him a wanker.
A wanker.
Yeah, he said, if this guy is so pretentious that he's going to do this, the audience needs to be able to see it, but it was too convoluted. He didn't know what theater was going to have it, what theater wasn't. Like, why advertise it like that and then not actually pull through the whole way?
Like, if you're a fan who wants to bite on this bait, you don't even know where to chomp.
Right. That's the problem.
Yeah. You're just swimming around the lake like an idiot, like a fish.
I think the medium is somewhere between this and Birds of Prey.
I think what Christopher Nolan's team should have done with this trailer, they wouldn't have had to totally change the scene. They should have just run this on every print of Hobbs and Shaw. Like, it should have just been like, oh, cool, this is an exclusive trailer. You can only see it in theaters, and we're going to run it in front of Hobbs and Shaw.
Yeah.
And then they should have, because there's a behind-the-scenes piece that got missed as well, which was that nothing about this trailer was communicated to theater owners. So we're putting together trailers. We're putting together a trailer package for Hobbs and Shaw. This trailer wasn't even on my radar. Now, part of that's my fault. I should have had my ear to the ground more. I should have listened in and I should have been looking for it. But part of it is the studio's fault saying, hey, if you're putting this big mystery campaign together. So in retrospect, I wonder like, oh, well, maybe I wasn't intended to have it. But this is the part I wanted to answer. Pirate Dave asked a question about, you know, hey, Penn, by the way, you mentioned on the show one time that you were going to investigate whether or not you physically had the trailer available in your building. We do now have the trailer, as I alluded to a minute ago, talking about whether or not to put it on it. So Penn Cinema does have the trailer, and it's unclear whether or not we had the trailer back then and we could have played it if we wanted to. I think the answer is we probably could have. But like I said, it wasn't on my radar. I didn't realize there was this whole sort of exclusive thing going on, whatever. So we have it. We're going to put it on some shows, having heard your feedback. You're usually a pretty good guy. But yeah, I mean, I tend to agree with Dave's rant about, you know, this. I'm not sure that I share the passion. I mean, I deal with studios doing stupid things every single day. So I'm a little more, you know, like, oh yeah, this makes total sense.
Yeah.
Like, you come to expect a certain level of stupidity over time. So yeah, anyway.
Well, moving on. Jordan Stelzis.
Oh boy. Is he dead to you?
Nah, I mean, he might be, but not. He's asking for help.
You know this guy?
I do.
Okay.
He said he tried Dune.
And loved it.
And he gave up.
Wait, what?
I know. Can you believe it?
Stop.
I know. I also heard from The Shadow, and he said he finished Dune. And he said, thank you.
What?
I know. So I don't know if Black Pumper Becky finished yet or not. But he says, why should he try again? Because he started because we were talking about it, and he just couldn't get through. It's hard to say without knowing how far he got into it.
Right. If it was like 2 pages or 3.
Yeah. So Frank Herbert is a huge world builder, and he kind of drops you in a little bit and then builds this giant world. And it's important, and it's kind of a little like slow, but it's important to have this world building because you're going to reach a point in the book where he tears it all down. And it's not until then that you start to realize the symbolism between reality and what he's writing about and why it's so great. It's not until that twist happens that kind of changes everything and you start discovering like what this universe really has to offer and what it's like and all that stuff. So if you want to get into it and you need to talk to somebody to get in about it, there's this great podcast called the Dune Saga Podcast.
Whoa.
Hosted by three great guys,
truly.
And one being myself. Where we read through the books chronologically. So if Frank Herbert if you're finding Dune proper to be a little bit heavy for you, maybe go back, check out the podcast, and read them in chronological order. There are 9 books before it that are written more modern style. They're not nearly as heavy. And then when you get to Dune, you'll have all of this backstory. It won't be nearly as heavy when you read it, and it'll have a whole different feel. Also, just a little tease, Brian Herbert, one of the current writers of the books, and Frank Herbert's son, is going to be coming on the show soon, as well as Byron Merritt, who is Frank's grandson and executive producer of the movie, will be joining us on the show coming up.
So shut up.
Check those out to be coming out probably late November.
So I thought you were going to say early 2020.
Early 2020, yeah, basically. So then he had a follow-up question. He said, when is the next podcast meetup? And we just said...
Yeah.
Doing live show at Red Rose Film Festival.
Yeah, the next podcast meetup. Well, there's a difference between a live broadcast and a podcast meetup.
Yeah.
I think he's asking about when are we going to like highlight a movie and all say we're all going to go watch it together.
Here's my proposal.
Hit me.
Right? Because we talked about it. Come October.
Yeah.
We're going to be watching the Fathom event of Spirited Away.
Ah.
So we should do it then. It only has a couple shows. So
brilliant.
I think it's a Sunday afternoon, right?
Great.
That they play. So, yeah, we should do it. We should do one then.
Are you announcing that?
Yeah, let's
do
it.
Okay.
Because we got to. Well, I don't remember. Okay. We'll have it for next time.
All right.
But it's in October, Spirited Away. And I know that he goes to those anyway, so bing, bam, boom. So he also said His contributing theory is...
Now, wait. I want to properly
frame...
Why
don't you do this one?
I'll do this one, because yeah. I thought this was absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's funny that it took people 33 weeks to figure this out. My co-host, David Moulton...
Who?
...is actually also Pirate Dave. Wait a minute. I got that mixed up.
Wait.
Pirate Dave is actually also my co-host, David Moulton.
Dun, dun, dun.
So which one of these guys is real?
It's hard to tell.
Right now, Pirate Dave's mind just got blown. He's listening to this going, I'm a real boy!
What's the connection? Why did he make that connection?
But I forget.
He said that Pirate Dave was just a way for David Moulton to fact check himself after editing and make it look like he knew what he was talking about.
Because nobody could make so many factual errors in one podcast.
Right. Yeah. It's the only way you can keep his sanity.
Yeah. I love that idea of like fake characters. I wish nothing more than we had started out week one with like a fictional fan.
it got more and more ridiculous as time went on.
Right.
Yeah. And so, I mean, if only.
So our next listener note is from Sailor Sam.
Sailor Sam.
Yes.
Who always listens to us on the high seas.
Right. Sailor Sam said he just loves the show.
One of the best.
Of all the podcasts out there,
we're one of them. All right.
So congratulations to Jordan for cracking the code.
Yeah. Code Cracker Jordan. That's his nickname.
Code Cracker Jordan.
Yeah. Hey, let's move on to what are you watching, what are you reading, what's going on this week? Give me a rundown of what's
your life.
Yeah,
I'm not watching anything except Red Rose Film Festival film entries. We are through the initial selection process. Yeah. I'm sorry, we're not through it. In other words, we haven't completed it, but we need to announce which films have been selected for the film festival by September 20th. So Ryan is riding herd on those of us in the selection committee. And I have been watching, with every free spare moment, indie films. And as I mentioned earlier in the show, they just keep getting better and better.
Yeah.
I mean,
what you mean is ridiculous. Your pinky gets further and further out.
Yes.
So you can appreciate them more.
Yep. I got the goatee, I got the pipe, the sweater vest.
Oh!
What's up? What about you?
I've been a little bit all over the place. Speaking of Jim Gaffigan earlier, he has a new stand-up on Amazon called Quality Time. And let me just say, he's back. I felt like his last couple stuff was just kind of like more and more and more of the same. But Quality Time is good. It's like, I really enjoyed it. So definitely check it out if you like stand-up. I'm also reading Babylon Ashes for The Orbital Sword. That's book 6 of The Expanse, which is fantastic. The Expanse is great. If you like sci-fi, check that out. And my Bond group watched Octopussy this week, which I made a note at the end. I said, hey, I'm having less and less of a time where I'm wondering how much more of these movies, like more of the movie each one has. Because it's been like these Bond movies about midway through. I'm like, How much longer is this movie? Like, this car chase is going to go for another half hour? Like, what's going on here? So I thought Octopussy was pretty decent.
Are you watching them in order?
Yeah. Chronological order.
You saw Casino Royale.
Yeah, yeah.
The new one. Yeah.
I've seen the old one, too.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But we're watching them in production order. Sorry.
The new Casino Royale is one of my favorite movies of all time.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I love the Daniel Craig Bonds a lot, so...
Yeah.
But we're still in, they're going to kill me. We watched the last movie before.
Get there, David.
Before Timothy Dalton, which stars Roger Moore.
There you go.
Yeah. So we're still in the Roger Moore era. So, and I read Batman Beyond, Mark of the Phantasm. Batman Beyond's pretty cool. It's like if the future came and Batman took on a new, he's like 80 and he brings in a new guy to be Batman. So it's pretty cool.
You know who would make a great Batman? Pirate Dave.
Pirate Dave.
I bet you he is Batman.
Just one more.
Wouldn't surprise me in the least.
I mean, a pirate and a Batman? Mix them together?
What?
Pirate Batman? I love it. All right. So next week, I feel like we got to do Downton Abbey.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. 100%.
Because, I mean...
Hundo P.
It'll definitely take some pressure because then the week after that, it's like... movie extravaganza. You got Ad Astra, you got Rambo, you have Downton Abbey proper. Isn't there something else too?
Yeah, Goldfinch.
Yeah, there's lots of things coming out. So cool. So next week we'll be talking about
Downtown Abbey.
Downtown Abbey. Downtown Abbey. Do, 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 do. So if you have any comments, hit us up. Podcast.
How do you not have a record deal?
It's crazy,
one
right?
One of life's great mysteries.
We'll never know.
We did also get a 5-star rating from a guy. Oh. Made me laugh silly.
What's this one?
I forget what it was, but didn't we? Or did we discuss that last week?
We did. Well, last week we got the one from Roland.
That's who I'm thinking of. Okay. That was funny.
Who are we? Who's that guy?
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So hit us up with a 5-star iTunes review and win tickets to IMAX.
Awesome. Very, very cool. We're also on Facebook, The Penn Cinema Podcast, and all your podcast favorite places around town. So once again, for the Penn Cinema Podcast, I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum. Take care and party on.
Thanks for joining us this episode. Our hosts would love to hear from you. To contact the show with your thoughts and reviews, email podcast@penncinema.com. This podcast is a production of Penn Cinema. Escape to the movies at Penn Cinema, featuring crisp digital projection, killer sound, reserved seating, and premium power recliners. With locations in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Wilmington, Delaware, and Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania. Showtimes and tickets available at www.penncinema.com.